This is the Business Breakfast with Owanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Good morning to Craig Earlham. So, all right, let's be circumspect about this. A big rebound on Wall Street last night. A feeling that there is going to be an $8 billion stimulus package. That may help. Day before that, an interest rate cut. The IMF has pledged $50 billion to internationally to help people. I have to ask you this question. I mean, I know exactly what you're going to say, but let's do it in any case. Where's the true value in all this? I mean, you know, that we're again seeing these massive share fluctuations, aren't we? I mean, for all we know, there might be a crash tomorrow. In fact, today.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's still potential that things could take a turn for the worse. And we still don't know what the full effects of the coronavirus are going to be, the full economic impact. We haven't had solid data yet that is going to highlight just how bad things have already got, because I think there is still an element of naivety about all of this, that we're hoping it's not as bad as we fear. And on the plus side, we've got interest rate cuts, we've got stimulus packages, etc. So it's all good. And people are very caught up on the fact that we corrected just more than 10%. So there's your correction. Now we can start buying those dips again.
Right.
So I think there's going to be another shock.
What would, if you were looking for an indicator, you said that, you know, we haven't had anything that's and we do know that anything that attempts to put like a GDP measure across countries is so out of date. Well, in fact it's constantly revised. It's even worse, isn't it? So that's never really an exact indicator of what's going on. Again, if you look at China, well, you never really know about China because it's relatively opaque, never mind what its official figures say. So what do you actually look at? I mean, you know, you obviously speak to people all day long. Is it a mood? Where's the actual concrete evidence of what's going on?
So you tend to look at a selection of things, to be honest. You tend to look at first and foremost at the surveys. That gives you your earliest indication on how business activity is responding. You do then look at things like employment readings. GDP, people still want to know about the GDP and what impact that has and what's affecting it and what's driving it. And then corporate results, ultimately, they're going to give you your biggest indicator in about 6 weeks' time, when we start seeing earnings season get underway and we start seeing what the ultimate impact on the bottom line is going to be, and also how CEOs and how the boards view the medium to longer term impact of this, and exactly where they are being hurt. So there's a variety of things, and it's a case of timeliness as well. People want to know right now where things are impacting. Well, the only data we really have now that's freely available is things like PMI surveys. So they're the things that you have to look at initially. And a lot of people are obviously going to be making predictions and trying to anticipate various things. But it's very difficult to know without the underlying figures. And then you're obviously looking at what people are doing, right? So you're looking at the fact that the IMF has announced the $50 billion stimulus package, the World Bank, $12 billion, the central bank, the Federal Reserve, a 50 basis point rate cut of 0.5%. The Bank of Canada yesterday doing similar. Others are expected to follow. Central banks in Asia have done the same. And you've got to ask yourself, would they do this if they didn't think this has the potential to be quite severe? Of course they wouldn't. You're looking at all of these things to try and get a gauge of how bad it's going to get, and then ultimately you're going to guess, and there's going to be a wide range of guesses, because this is not an ordinary event that people can relate to when making these predictions. So it is extremely, extremely difficult, but it is also encouraging. I do understand why investors are a bit more encouraged now than they were a week ago, because we've had the G7 meeting earlier this week, and but the message that they then released afterwards was very vague and non-committal. And since then, we have had various central banks cutting interest rates. The intent of them, I think, primarily is to stabilise financial markets, remove panic from financial markets, and also ease any tightening credit conditions that would naturally appear in these kind of situations. And then that needed the step two, which was going to be actual funding from support from various agencies and governments, and we're starting to see that as well. That shows a strong commitment. It doesn't mean that things will all be perfectly well and good and that there's nothing to worry about, but that we needed, we continue to need these things to happen.
I had some relatively wise words pushed in my direction the last time, many years ago, when there was a similar stock market crisis. And somebody said to me, you know, the truth of it is that no good company, or very few good companies, go bad overnight. So I think what he was trying to say there was, you know, there are still fundamentals about, aren't they? And we should still, or at least investors should still be looking at the true value of companies.
Yeah, absolutely. That's extremely true. What we have to remember, though, is there's many small and medium-sized businesses who do rely on the constant flow of liquidity and do rely on invoices being paid,
yes,
and do rely on short-term boosts. And then there's also companies who rely more on certain times of year than other times of year, who rely on certain events. So you think, let's take Tokyo, for example. If the Tokyo Olympics were going to be cancelled over the course of the summer because of the spread of the coronavirus, other companies who have invested heavily in anticipation of a whirlwind of income as on those Olympics, and how will they be impacted? So, I mean, that's just one particular event, but there's events all around the world every day. We look at something that I'm sure we'll talk about soon with Flybe.
Yeah.
Companies which, yes, they were already bad, but doesn't mean that they were going to go bust. There's companies which are actually in a good position, but as soon as you introduce cash flow problems, then all of a sudden you go from a healthy company that's doing well, it's got great prospects, sure, to sure, one that's on life support. It's extremely difficult, but this is why the government support is so incredibly necessary.
So let's turn our attention, if we may, to the United States. A surprise success for Joe Biden. Bloomberg's dropped out, but pledging money for Joe Biden. Again, are you beginning to feel as though political change in the United States is impinging on the markets or not?
I don't think so. It's probably a little more likely than it was a couple of months ago because, let's face it, when your president is facing re-election and you're either in recession or you're in a market where everything's going well and you've got decade low unemployment and you're growing at a steady rate, then it's a very different prospect. So there is obviously an increased odds of Trump being beaten at the back end of this year. I still don't actually see it happening. It's almost a shame that Mike Bloomberg has fallen out, because I think I said a few months ago when we were talking, it would have been really interesting to see Bloomberg versus Trump for many different reasons. But let's be honest, the only reason he entered into the race was because Joe Biden's poll ratings had become so bad that he believed that there needed to be a centrist candidate on the ticket to run against Trump. So the fact that Biden performed so well on Super Tuesday means that it made sense for Bloomberg to then drop out because he performed so poorly, and just back him both publicly but also financially as well, and try and get him on the ticket for that run up against Donald Trump. So yeah, I mean, it's no real surprise that he's chosen to do that. The big surprise was obviously just Joe Biden's performance on Super Tuesday itself, because in the caucuses that led up to it, he performed really, really quite badly.
Okay. Now, let's turn our attention to Flybe, as we said we would. No surprise here. A perfect storm for them, unfortunately, isn't it? In difficulty to start with, and then coronavirus adds to the cash flow problems.
Yeah, so this kind of falls in one of the categories we were talking about earlier. This is a company that already wasn't doing very good, that was already on the verge of administration, that looked as though it secured support from the government in terms of tax deferrals and financial support from some of its backers in order to just keep it going. This is still an important company, or was an important company for the UK because of the amount of domestic air travel that it does cover. It was quite a controversial rescue in a way from the government because of the focus on emissions right now, but also it came under heavy criticism from companies like British Airways and I think EasyJet as well, because they believe the government was effectively intervening in the market, yeah, potentially intruding on opportunities which it presented for them.
Yeah, so in terms of its assets, then, it's got its landing slots, presumably, hasn't it? It's got its planes. Never mind the planes for a moment. I mean, could somebody go in there? I guess they could.
Well, they absolutely could, and this is where we've got to see whether these claims, these issues, these criticisms that these companies put forward against the rescue were founded, or whether they were just opportunistic. Because if the likes of BA and others had a genuine criticism of this because they think that it intruded on potential business opportunities for them, then there should be no shortage of people vying for these slots over the coming weeks now, which means that the regions who are heavily reliant on Flybe planes and the staff who are employed by Flybe should have no issue being re-employed and re-deployed. but you never know how these situations are going to unfold. There's some airports which are hugely dependent on Flybe, so we need a resolution quickly, otherwise there's going to be plenty more businesses who are going to fall into the second category that we were talking about earlier. Businesses that appear very healthy, but when one thing goes wrong, and coronavirus has been blamed for this because it's kind of been the final nail in the coffin for Flybe. What about all those businesses who exist in these airports? So you've got these regional airports. What about all the businesses who are now sitting in those who don't have people flying in to actually utilise the business? And others as well.
And briefly and finally, the new Bank of England boss, Mr. Bailey, does not back an immediate virus rate cut. But he said, didn't he, when he was talking yesterday, that that the Bank of England would help where it could. Is that encouraging, do you think, or do you think it ought to have an interest rate cut?
So we have to remember that the Bank of England doesn't have the leeway that the Federal Reserve has earned over the last couple of years. Interest rates are currently around 0.5% above what the Bank of England believes to be the lower bound. So they may be looking at alternative measures. So back in 2016, during the Brexit vote, they cut interest rates by 25 basis points, but then restarted more quantitative easing on corporate bond purchases and things like that. I think they're the type of measures similar to the ECB that the central bank may be looking at in terms of kind of emergency measures to try and deal with any downside of the coronavirus. How, in other words, how can the central bank support these companies who, as we mentioned earlier in the show, are likely to be facing cash crunches effectively? How can we alleviate some of those pressures? That'll probably be a far more effective use of their monetary policy toolkit than cutting interest rates by 50 basis points, which, let's be honest, when you can't get your hand on cash, isn't going to be very helpful.
Craig Ellam, thank you very much indeed.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Oanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.